Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Because you show me love so true.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to IWDM Radio, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show. Our topic tonight is the true love recipe for this particular learning lab. We hope you're in a learning mode and have tuned in to our program with a focus on examining sound approaches to finding a mate, do's and don'ts, and the prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. This particular learning lab focuses on how you can lead to the beautiful and memorial wedding day and fulfilling a marriage of faith, affection, peace, and joy. With that, I'd like to bring to you the host and the program manager for this particular show, Mark Shaheed. As-salamu alaykum, my good brothers. Nice to be on.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to our special guest, co-host Khalila Akbar, and to our very distinguished, esteemed radio listening audience here at IWDM Radio. And yes, it is good to be back on IWDM Radio. And as you well know, I always like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Shadow ilah ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa shahadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, and the producer, along with Khalila Akbar, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Thursday night right here on IWDM Radio. And boy, you probably can hear the enthusiasm in my voice and the elation in terms of being so happy to be back on IWDM Radios, as some of you, especially our core listeners, for the past almost 2 weeks, it's been really a roller coaster with Blog Talk Radio. And we want to always say Alhamdulillah. And for those who don't know, that simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always, for giving us this opportunity to be back live here on IWDM Radio. I'm almost like a little child could jump up and click my heels. I'm not going to try to do that tonight. But I want to thank all of you all for the patience, the steadfastness, sticking and staying and not straying away, because we didn't have any control of what was happening. So hopefully there won't be any interruptions tonight, so let's make a little dua that Allah bless us to have a clear broadcast tonight with no interruptions and stoppages and all, and to that we say Ameen. And so tonight we have a special treat for you tonight, as we will have an outstanding a couple that has been married for 41 and a half years, and I'm going to withhold their names. They will be joining us very shortly, and all. And for those of you who seemed like 2 months ago, but it actually was 2 weeks ago on the True Love Recipe. And let me just say a little something about the True Love Recipe, because I know we always have new listeners that tune in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and all. And we want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. And we ask that you do bring it to the lab. We have an email address, bringittothelab@gmail.com. That's bringittothelab@gmail.com. Where if you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make in regards to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard here on IWDM Radio, you can utilize that for leaving a question or comment, or you may have suggestions in regards to topics that you would like to hear here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So we do welcome that, or even if you come on and you want to make a suggestion, that is acceptable also. We also are aware of the fact that we have many listeners that listen in to IWDM Radio and the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab by way of the Internet. And for you to be a part of tonight's presentation production, you do have to call into the studio for IWDM Radio. And that number, I'm going to advise you to get your pen, a sharp pencil, and notebook tonight, because I believe that there's going to be some noteworthy things that can and will be said tonight. And you might want to jot those down. You may want to ask questions, so you can get more insight, or you may want to add something to what we will say tonight here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And also we welcome those who listen and may not say very much, but if something resonates with you tonight, Khalil Akbar and myself, we would love to hear from you also. And I'm quite sure our special guest couple would love to hear something from you. And you may have questions for them. We are expecting them within the next, maybe say, 20 minutes or so, and we'll get right into their marriage narrative. So in the meantime, between time, the last time that we was actually on, which was about 2 weeks ago today, as I said, this is my own personal true love recipe, and this true love recipe is about true love. It's not just about love, but what true love is, and the qualities and characteristics that are used are all organic and natural ingredients. The ingredients are the qualities and characteristics that comprise of what true love really is. I chose to use the English alphabet, which consists of 26 letters from A to Z. Yes, A to Z, and I know some of you probably wonder what is XYZ is, but you just have to be patient and wait and stay in the learning lab, so when we get to XYZ, you'll be able to see what it is that Allah has blessed me with. And inshallah, coming up in 2024, I'm looking to do more in terms of actually putting it in a book where you can have it and you can read it and review it at your own leisure. And so 2 weeks ago, we were on what is called T5. And these qualities and characteristics, they are natural preservatives. What do you mean natural preservatives? Is natural preservatives to preserve and sustain and maintain a healthy, harmonious relationship. And some of these things we perhaps never thought about, is this what comprises true love, holistic true love? Well, I seem to think so. You don't have to agree with me, but I will ask you the question periodically, would that quality or characteristic be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, would it truly be true love? And we try to use what we say is three main sources. The three main sources for Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, just like the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Construction Learning Lab, Al-Quran. Al-Quran is the final revelation by Almighty God Allah for humanity. The second source that we utilize is the life example of the Prophet in living the Quran, even in the sacred institution of marriage, both in monogamy and also polygyny. And also the third source that we use, which is the tafsir. The tafsir clearly means the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader Imam Waisa-ud-Din Muhammad. And so these are the three components and the three sources that we use for the dissemination and the information and education that we give here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So 2 weeks ago, we were on T5, and to my recollection, and I could be off, so I stand to be corrected, but I'll give those five to you in the order that I believe I gave to you 2 weeks ago, and hopefully I'm giving them in the correct order. The first one was tranquility, that's T1. T2 was, tranquility, then it was, what was it, transparency. Number three was truthful. Number four was trustworthy. And then number five was thoughtfulness. And those are the five. We really kind of elaborated on the first two, and time elapsed, and we stopped there. So while we're waiting on our special guest couple, we're going to just do a review a little bit, and we're going to have a check-in before we bring on our special guest facilitator, Sister Khalila Akbar. We want to know that if our engineer is in place, assalamu alaikum, the priest of Hadi, are you there?
No, she's here, Mark. I'm going to be on here to see.
Okay, you're still there. Okay, so Rashid Salam, and they'll switch out in a little bit. But I want to bring on our special guest facilitator, Khalila Akbar. Assalamu alaikum, Khalila Akbar.
You're not online, Mark. I think your guests are here, though.
Okay. So Khalila Akbar is a little late arriving, but I'm told that our guest it has already arrived. And so to be a good host, I don't want to keep them waiting. And also we ask that they press 1. And before I bring them on, I just like to say that our guest tonight, a very distinguished and esteemed couple, very well known in the community, formerly from the STL, that's the gateway city of St. Louis, Missouri here. Now they're in the ATL, the Jewel of the South, that's Atlanta, Georgia. And I've known them for quite a few years. And they have been married for 41 and one half years. I can't forget that one half years. And I tell you, if you got the flyer, I want to thank Karan Shakir for the excellent work that she does there in the ATL, because if you look at their picture, you can hardly believe that they're 41 and a half years old, not to be mentioned that they've been married for 41 and a half years. And I'm really honored that they accepted my invitation, as this is an objective for inspiration and motivation for those who may be on the fence and be thinking, should I try it again? Those persons that say, I'm one and done. They're two and they through. Three, they want to be free. Four, never no more. Five, I want to put it aside. So having these outstanding couples that Allah has blessed me to be able to get and to bring on to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab to give their marriage narrative, I am really deeply grateful and appreciative. And I'd like to extend their greetings to Brother Abdul Hakim and Shukuru Bilal. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. So alhamdulillah. I am so honored and elated to have both of you here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. And a special thanks goes to you, Sister Shukuru Bilal, and everything, because you know, it's not the easiest thing a lot of times to come on national radio and all, but just understanding the objective is for inspiration and motivation, because we see the sacred institution of marriage as part of God's will and plan for all of us, and And even those of us that may not have been able to quite get it done and get it done right, you understand, we should never sour on that. And the desire to want to be in a sacred institution marriage should always be present with us and all. And so here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, what we've been doing for over five and a half months with the outstanding couples that we've had on, we give them opportunity to give their marriage narrative. And here we'll always say ladies first, in regards to giving an introduction to themselves, and then we'll have Brother Bilal to give an introduction to himself. In other words, take a few minutes just to introduce yourself. Who is Shakuru Bilal? And we're going to ask Brother Bilal, who is Abdul Hakim Bilal, and then we'll start the interview. I'll ask some questions, and my special guest facilitator get on, Khalil Akbar, you know, on, and then she'll have some questions. And we'll open up to our radio listening audience. So we want you to listen very, very carefully. And if you hear this bell, that don't mean that your time is up when you hear this bell. That just simply means that maybe you inadvertently use one of the qualities and characteristics that I have in my true love recipe from A to Z, and I'll make mention of that. But we're going to alternate back and forth. So we're going to start with you, my dear sister Shakuru Bilal. Who are you, and what would you say to the radio listening audience, how you want the people to know you? And once again, welcome to IWDM Radio, and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I think, thank you for having us. I really appreciate it, number one, first off. And I think you have a great radio show, and you definitely have the gift of gab, and I'm excited to be here with my husband today.
Alhamdulillah. So now, who is Shakuru Bilal? You know, I mean, you can say whatever you want to say about yourself.
Yes, I
know you as an outstanding fashion designer, and
I wasn't going to skip the question. I just wanted to intro that and give you your
Okay.
And for having us, we appreciate that.
Yes.
So, who is Shakuru? I mean, I guess lately, when it's asked, it's like, who are you? Who are you really? You're not really mom, the wife, et cetera. You are actually something other, something more than that. So, but we're accustomed to saying, well, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a sister, I'm a friend, I'm a community member, I'm a Muslim, I'm a daughter, I'm an aunt, I'm a, you know, et cetera. But we are, as we've been delving into it with Imam Fahim Shuaib Moore, I've come to say I am a slave servant. You know, the word slave, yes, has gotten a bad connotation because of slavery, but we are slave servant of Allah. And to realize that and say, okay, that's a lot to live up to in saying it. Yes, it's a lot to live up to in being a mom, a wife, a daughter, a sister, you know, aunt, a community member, et cetera, as well. And in that, that's like all encompassing to me, it is, in saying that I'm a slave servant of Allah. And I'm asked to be of more service in this community, in my life, especially as a recent. I've asked for it in the past, but as a recent, living down here in Atlanta, I've asked for more of it, and it's coming. And even this morning, my husband and I, we had a discussion, and he said, what are we doing? He said, if there are people who are suffering all over the world, and we've been blessed to not, you know, suffer those things. We have some challenges, et cetera, but that's not been us. He said, so that tells you this. And I was ready to interject with him, but I listened, and he said, that tells you that we are definitely not doing enough, not enough at all. We are not doing the things that we are really supposed to be doing. So, I mean, not I've heard him say it before, but this morning it was so emphatic how he expressed it.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That's beautiful, Shukuru. And I'm glad to hear that, and that kind of falls in with the theme that I will be using for IWDM Radio as 2023 is going out, and that theme is in 2024 we got to do more in regards to opportunity. We have to do more. And provide opportunities and do more in 2024. Very, very important because I don't think as believers, and I echo with Brother Bilal, we make contributions, but we all have to ask ourselves, can we do more? And the question generally that's asked for most of us, we can actually say yes. We could do more. We can do better. And also, that's the thing for 2024. We have to do more in 2024. So that's the thing for here for IWDM Radio. We have to do more in 2024 because the need of people is greater. It's as great as it's ever been in human existence. So I really appreciate that, Shukuru, that you stated that and how you are defining yourself as to who you actually are. Thank you so much for that. Now we're going to turn to your husband here, Brother Abdul Hakim Bilal. How would you like to introduce yourself? How do you want the radio listening audience to know you? Who is Abdul Hakim Bilal? And once again, welcome to IWDM Radio and the Coach of a Marriage Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I'd like to say to everyone that's listening, as well as you, Mark, assalamu alaikum, giving the greetings. And as I used to say when I used to make that trip, from STL to ATL, that's how we live it. And, how should I say, like I was telling my wife today, sometimes you think you know yourself. Sometimes you think that you prepare to do certain things. But I think when I got down to Atlanta to be my family, it gave me an opportunity to express more and to give more service.
Mm-hmm.
Give more service to my family, and give more service to my community. It's like it is. I'm Brother Bilal. I'm a family man. I'm a servant of Allah. I'm a family man, and basically, to be around family, it helps you understand the reason why you married. Your marriage, you would have been you and your wife, and between that, next thing you know, it's not just you and your wife anymore.
That's right.
Your responsibility is much greater. And now that I'm a grandpa, a grandparent, with grandparents now, I would love to be a great grandparent. You really see the richness in what marriage offers in terms of the legacy of what you attempted to establish.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that in your children, in your grandchildren.
Yeah.
They don't have to be 100% where you're thinking, because they have their own minds, their own. But you can see the foundation, and you can see that their buildings, what they're built out of, haven't strayed from the foundation. Foundation still have those layers of brick. That's from that marriage. I'm not saying that marriage doesn't have ups and downs and things that we all go through, and we wish we could have did this, or we might have tried to do that better, or this or that. It's a learning experience, but when you get When season age happens, you can look back and see all of those things that help you to grow into that type of human being that you are now.
Yeah.
That your legacy sees. Because that's what they're looking at you.
Yeah.
Looking at
I'm
how
really
you that. Operate. So, and having a mate that you committed. That commitment is, is large. It's not like how people think today. You know, it's like, oh, it's easy to get in and easy to get out. You know, it's just like, you know, it's real easy to get in and it's real easy to just get out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have anything to really, anything to hold you back. You know, I ain't ready to do that. But I ain't going to take that. I would put up. I mean, let's have so much that when we take our time and we sit back and you look back over the years, you'll see the richness in it. As long
yeah.
as whatever the other things that
yeah.
you don't see so good in it, you will
yeah.
see all of that.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir.
That is our goal. That is something. That is, a goal that we have together. And then there's times when, you might not be feeling, sometimes you don't feel the same way all the time. But, it's like, if you don't feel right, then, all you got to do is find somebody that you love. And you got grandkids, got grandbabies, you can put that love in and let you know. Whatever that was wrong with you should help you sharpen that,
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, alhamdulillah, Brother Bilal, I tell you, I'm going to have to get you and Shakuru back again as special guest facilitators because you are already really educating our radio listening audience. And, whenever we have the Question of Marriage Learning Lab, I ask them to make sure they have an ink pen or a sharp pencil and bring their notebook because some noteworthy things can and will be said, and you're already off to a good start in terms of giving some good information, education in terms of the sacred institution of marriage. So what we want to do at this point, I don't know, I'm going to check in with my engineer, to see if a switch has been made at this time. Rashid Salam, are you still with us, or have the priest Abdul Hadi, have you arrived?
I'm still with you, Mark. We do have your co-host on the phone, and her mic is open. I will just wait to the first break.
Okay, so at this time, I'd like to welcome my very distinguished, esteemed co-host of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, who just went to the dentist today. She might not want me to say that, but it's okay. All of us go to the dentist sometime. Clear Akbar, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to you, Brother Mark Shahid, and your delightful and thought-provoking guest, Brother Bilal.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So we're going to get this interview going here. And Brother Bilal, we always say ladies first, sisters first. And so I'm going to ask a series of questions, and then I'm going to turn it over to Khalil Akbar, and then she'll have a few questions. And we open it up to our radio listening audience to ask you some questions. And like I say, once again, if you hear a little bell like that, don't get alarmed. That don't mean that you're going too long or anything. It just means that you inadvertently may have used one of the qualities and characteristics in my true love recipe, and so that's very, very important to note to our radio listening audience. So the first question, my dear sister Shakuru Bilal, is this. How did you all first meet? And I want to just say, Brother Bilal, you'll have an opportunity to also respond to the same questions. And I'll just alternate in that regard. How did you first meet? How did you two first meet? What is that you recall in terms of meeting your future husband? Will you share with the radio listening audience, Sister Shukuku?
Yes. It was a really a sweet story. So I had initially seen him prior when I was I guess maybe 17 or something. I had seen him, and he was playing the drums, and I was like, oh, that's a cultural brother over there. And so he had taken an interest, but I was I didn't know how old he was or something, but you know that was he was in the age for me at that time. So I see that as a teen anyway. And
okay.
Then a few years later, I was told that he had inquired about me. And I said, well, I would like to meet him. That was our ma'am at that time. Was he ma'am Rose? So he was like, okay, I'll arrange, you know, for you to meet the brother. And so eventually, Bilal came around to the masjid. And he was like, okay, he's here. So we met, and I was painting. I was working on the Annie Malone Children's Home float. So I was on that committee, or over the committee. We were putting the float together. And actually, we won that year. We won the first place. So painting and putting everything together for the float, and let me see, we went on through with the parade and everything. So towards the end of the parade, I was up on the tractor trailer flatbed, and I needed to get down. So there were a few other suitors trying to get at me, and they were coming to help me down. I was like, no, I'm waiting on that brother who keeps looking over here, which was Bilal. Like, I'm waiting on him to come over here and actually count off his float. And so I know he was looking, but he finally came, and I accepted his hand, and he helped me down. And then I don't know, did he now introduce us at that point? Was he out there? Was he? Okay, I think that was kind of it.
That was another day.
That was another day. And
okay.
But he did help me down. So when he was grinning from ear to ear, it was wild.
I'm still grinning right now.
Okay, so we're gonna give brother Bilal, because I know he wants to add something to this. This is already good. Okay, so brother Bilal, what do you remember? You know, in terms of how y'all first met, what do you recollect that you could share with our radio listening audience, brother Bilal?
Again, like Shakur said, we actually met at the masjid, you know. It was about community. We met at the masjid. I mean, you know, I actually, I'll never forget. So, like she said, about the float situation, I had helped her off the float, but I still need to communicate with her, right?
He couldn't talk.
So I remember that me and my cousin Abdullah, we were staying together in our apartment. And so it was Sunday, Tylene, and I told my cousin, I said, hey, man, I'm getting ready to go to Tylene. He said, you wasn't going to Tylene today. I said, well, I'm going to Tylene to meet that sister. He said, you're not supposed to be going to Tylene to meet no sister, brother. You're supposed to be going to Tylene to see what Allah got for you. And I said, and that's exactly what I'm going to do, bro. And I went to Tylene, and after Tylene, you know, we happened to meet right outside the email. I think it was an ice cream social. So I remember all this.
Yes.
It was an ice cream social. And the ice cream toast dude, Sister Betty was trying to get me to meet her daughter. Right there. And at the same time, so, you know, I was really like, oh, man.
Rest her soul.
Yeah,
she was really sweet.
Yeah, she was trying to get me to meet her daughter.
And her daughter, rest her soul.
She introduced me to her daughter.
Eunice Pat.
And so I was trying to think what to do. And so I walked out the door, and Shakuru dropped her handkerchief.
Okay. She's got the handkerchief, right?
You know, it was something like that.
Okay, it was something like
that. It was something, you know, like something that you had that you were using.
Okay.
I don't know if it was a handkerchief. It was something. And so I picked it up to give to her. And at the moment I picked it up, that's when the email invited us into, oh, come on in, both of y'all. And that's when he, like, formally tried to introduce yeah, introduce us and all that. And, you know, it's like, it's from there, you know, we got a chance to start trying to learn, know each other, and we already knew what we wanted to get married, but it was just like...
Yeah, so I'm gonna stay with you on this, and then we're gonna go back to your wife Shakuro in regards to that. So it actually happened that the mess yet, and you went to Tylene, and you staying with your cousin, and you ain't supposed to be going. He's telling you, you know, he's supposed to be going to Tylene to learn something about the dean. What Allah has for you. So yeah, that's exactly where I'm going. So which
half
is
of the team.
You know which it was in that regard, and of course we speaking about Imam Rauf Muhammad, who was a resident Imam there at Al Mu'minun Islamic Center back there somewhere in the mid '80s. That was quite a few years ago. And everything. So, Brother Bilal, I want you to pick up the story, but I have to ask you this, and then we're going to go to your wife to get her response. So, what did you think about her when you first saw her? What came to your mind? What was impressive to you in regards to your future wife? Can you convey that to the radio listening audience, if you would? And then I'm going to ask her the same question. What was it that was very, very impressionable or very, very attractive when you first met her? Brother Bilal, talk to us.
So when I first met Shakuro, it was the glow that she had, you know, it was like she had this glow of like she had this glow that, you know, she actually was who she wanted to be, you know, like she wanted to be a servant, she wanted to be a Muslim, she wanted to be, you know, she had that, like, she really wanted to be that, you know, not just look like it, she had some, like, you know, this is what she wanted, you know, like, I know that exactly what I wanted. But somebody
okay.
that wanted that, you know, wanted to live this thing, you know, and that is what was the first thing that attracted me to her. Like, I could see that beyond just the surface, you know. It was in her character. It was in the
yes.
way she spoke, or even the shyness. Or whatever, you know, it was in those things that was, you know, it was a lot of strength in it too at the same time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that, you know, she was a very strong person in terms of her thinking and that ability, but she had this glow of like, you know, how you want to be submissive to God, like, you know, God is going to be on your side. Those
yes,
kind of things, and that's yes, what sir. Really made me feel like, man, anybody that want to have God on their side, I want to be with them. And so
right.
that's still the
so
rule
the,
now.
Having
God on
yes.
your side, you know.
So alhamdulillah. So that's powerful what you just said in terms of that you was able to see that in your initial meeting. That's what it is. Allah bless you to see in her that was very, very attractive to you. Now I'm coming to you, Shakuro. No, go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt you. What was that, Brother Blau, she was saying?
No, I was saying exactly that was it. You know, like, of course, Shakuro is a very beautiful person, but I'm saying it was something, you know,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't just superficial. You know, it was something that was beyond that
yeah.
is like, you know, like, I mean, like, something that you want to be real in your heart, you know, those things,
yes.
I could tell.
Yes, sir. No, you're very, very clear. You're very, very clear. That means that you were looking beyond just the physicality. There was something else that was radiating from within that Allah blessed you to be able to see, and that's a beautiful thing. And I'm hoping that our radio listeners is taking really good notes here. So we're coming to you, Shakuru. When you first saw Bilal, your future husband at that time, what really resonated to you about him when you saw him? What was special when you first saw him? If you could share with our radio listeners, what was attractive to you when you first met him? Shakuru, talk to us.
Yes. Well, like I had said earlier, when I first, well, I guess that's not when I really met him, but I had seen him before. And
mm-hmm.
when I saw him another time, I mean, I observed that he, it's still superficial, but I had actually asked the imam some questions about him to get a more in-depth understanding of who he
mm-hmm.
was.
Mm-hmm.
And was he really committed to Islam? I wanted to know that. Was he consistent? Was he committed? Was he involved? I needed to know those things because I didn't want to involve myself with any brother who was not sure of himself in the deen, who was not practicing, who had not been practicing for a period of time. Because I was
mm-hmm.
my parents married as teenagers in the Nation of Islam, and they raised us up. They raised my siblings and I up as Muslim
mm-hmm.
as well. So when I decided to take my Shahada and come around and really start practicing, I needed to make sure that I found that in this brother. So I was told, well, yeah, he's consistent in it, but he said time off right now to get himself together because he's talking to somebody. It was like,
okay.
Boom, I was like, done, right? But I was young, so when he say I'm done, he's talking to somebody like, what you mean he's involved with somebody? Who does that? You're Muslim. But that means
mm-hmm.
I was holding him to this standard that I had for myself. And
mm-hmm.
and what I needed to do was to accept him for whatever whoever he was at that time. I will learn that later. I didn't learn that right then. I will learn that later on. That was my judgment. And so, but when I saw him, I saw a cultural aspect. I thought he was handsome. I thought he was. I had saw a person in my dream. And when I saw him, I said, that's the person. That's the brother who
mm-hmm.
was in my dream. I initially
okay.
thought it was somebody else, but it wasn't the person. I said, no, this is him. So the imam kind of like dismissed it, like, okay, in your dream, okay, whatever. But just knowing that he was into African culture, et cetera, and I was into that as well, so that was something that we would have
mm-hmm.
in common. But I would come to find out later is that there was an age difference of 8 years, at least.
Okay.
So I asked him, you know, how old was he? And I said, okay, how old are you? Like, I was 19, so I was so ridiculously naive, right? And he's like, I said 20? He's like, nope. 21? Nope. I'm like, wait a minute, I got 24.
So you
got to
go back the other way, huh?
Yeah, I was like, oh, no, bro, it's getting too much for me. I can't take this to my family. Like, you're going to be too old for me, right? So
okay.
when he got to 8 years, I was thinking, this is not going to work. But I did say, but my dad said, well, it can't work with anyone less than who is an actual man. He said, for you, because you're a strong young woman. I don't need a man. How my dad would talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you don't need a boy. You don't need a teen your age. You need a man. And that's not that
mm-hmm.
big of an age gap for, you know, for you, for the two of you all. So
mm-hmm.
that's kind of that part.
That's really okay. So, you know, what I'm hearing, Shakuru, you know, I think that this is very important, the importance of having a father, a conscious father. And for those who don't know, when we talk about Wali, this really is for those that have little or no experience in relationship, and the natural Wali, which would be that protecting friend, you know, for their daughter or even their son, as in regards to that, would be your father. And so he, knowing you, he advises you, you need a real man in your life. Don't be concerned so much because he's 8 years older than you in that regard. And so that was obviously very impactful and very encouraging and inspirational and actually motivation, that whereas that you were thinking in your head, and oftentimes this happens with young people, you know, thinking that age can be can make a big difference. But I think that for the age that you were and what it is that you said that you were looking for, you were very, very sure on that because of the way you was raised up. So you were looking for somebody that was very sincere about the deen,
yeah,
about the religion. You know, somebody just not in and out playing around in terms of the religion itself. And you were able to see that in him, and that was an attraction. And obviously what your father said to you was actually inspirational. So if you was on the fence in regards to that, for you to be able to hear what your father said in that regard, now that can be very, very impactful to you. So now we're going to stay with you at this time, Shakur. Then my next question is, and we're getting close to having to take a pause for the calls, but I think that we can get this in before we have to take a station break here. Shakur,
okay.
My question to you, and then it'll be to Bilal too. You know, the interest that both of you at this point obviously had in each other in the courtship itself. The question is that how long did the courtship actually last? And when you began to court each other, in terms of your communication, was it something that stood out in your communication, whereas that you got to know more about your future husband, Bilal, that made him even more attractive to you? So I'm hoping that you understand that question. I can see that there already was some chemistry that was actually there. But in the courtship itself, in your communication, in the information in regards to learning more about him, what can you say to the radio listening audience that really became more of a bonding that this would be the right man for me? And so we have about 3 minutes or so for you to convey that information to our radio listeners, and then we'll take a pause for the calls, and when we come back, then we'll come back to Brother Bilal, and I'll ask him the same question. Shakur, if you could or would convey that information in your courtship, you got to know a little bit more about him and everything. Anything was outstanding or stood out that you found in him that even made him more attractive to you?
Yes, there actually is. There actually was. I used to take classes, Islamic studies classes at the masjid. And at first there were quite a few people in the classes. Then it dwindled down to just myself and my sister and Imam Rauf. And so my dad didn't like that. He felt like there needs to be somebody else there, because sometimes it would just be myself, Imam Rauf, and the Musawwa. So he felt like, no, there needs to be somebody else there. You can't just be there like that. And so Bilal started coming around more. And then instead of having this class, this Islamic study in the Musawwa, we would take it across the street to Brother Donnie's restaurant.
Okay.
We would have class there. So Bilal was coming regular. And he was in on the studies or sitting there listening while I was studying and taking the classes, et cetera. And I love that he was committed to that. And he would also let me know that he knew a lot of things, you know.
But later I called it Islam.
That was just my thing, Sam. I'm like, no, nah, brother, he put a spin on that. But anyway, after we were meeting there like every day for 7 days in a row. On the seventh day, this man asked me to marry him. I was shocked, actually. I was like, "Jesus Christ!" but we were so infatuated. I'm going to say it was infatuation.
Okay.
It was so early.
Okay.
It was so new.
And give us a time frame on that, Shakuru. Give us a time frame on that. At this point, for our radio listening audience, how long had you all actually been talking in the courtship? And obviously, we know there's an interest. We know that there's an attractiveness, magnetic in that regard. And so now you're studying Islamic studies with Imam Rauf Muhammad here in the STL. And so now he comes and becomes a part of that class and everything. And so on the seventh day, seven being a very important number, really, he asked you to marry him. And we don't want to keep our radio listening audience in suspense, but we got to take a pause for the calls here. And so as you think about that, and we're going to hold it there, but we're going to give Brother Bilal an opportunity to give his response in terms of he coming around more in being interested in some of the things that you were interested in terms of commonality, and we're going to see why he popped the question then, and also we want you to say in the timeline in terms of how long you two had known each other, what was your age at that particular time. So we're going to ask you to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back after this break.
Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe, dressed by God above. Who could ask for anything more? I know sometimes things don't go right. No matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way. Lord knows they talk about you, but to the Muslim brother you are a flower in the early morning dew. Oh, covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe, dressed by God above. Who could ask for anything more? Out of all the women, you're the only one in place. Out of all the women in this whole wide world, you're the only one to bring a smile to the master's face. On the judgment day, I'm sure he'll say, "Enter the garden, my flower. I prepared it for you this day. You were strong. You held on tightly to me. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So I wrap you up in my words and wisdom, yeah, and made you a light for the whole of humanity, covered all over, wrapped in God's love, covered all over, a woman truly worthy of, covered all over, from head to toe, dressed by God above. Who could ask for anything more? Stay covered.
And we're back. And you're listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That is on each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. Your host, Mark Shahid, and your co-host, Khalila Akbar. And we have as our special honored guest couple tonight, Abdul Hakim and Shakur Bilal. And they're giving their marriage a narrative of 41 and one-half years tonight. And they have disseminated a lot of information in terms of actually how they actually met and also in terms of the interest that they had in each other. And also now we are in the courtship. And for those of you who just tuned in late, we're at the point in terms of Brother Bilal popping the question, and I think if I'm not mistaken, you all can correct me if I'm incorrect, we're looking at the year somewhere around about 1982, that you two actually meeting, because I kind of know that time frame in which Imam Rauf Muhammad actually was the resident imam here in the STL. In St. Louis, Missouri, so 82. And so when I left, I had to take a pause for the calls, but his wife, Shakuru, said that he popped the question on the seventh day that they was in the Islamic class. So I'm going to go to your husband, Shakuru, and I want him to give his insight in terms of you're coming around a little bit more, Brother Bilal. You have an interest. There's clearly some chemistry that's actually here. Shakuru is in the Islamic class and everything. You start attending the class and all. Now, from your perspective, you know, and obviously you're conversating probably every day and all. And where she stopped at was on the seventh day, you decided to pop the question and just asking her with no bells and whistles, of course, at that point in time, will you marry me? What was your thinking? When did you really give some thought to that? And do you think, at that time, of course, we know now that was the right decision. After 41 and a half years, it becomes obvious in that regard. But what was your thinking, Brother Bilal, that you could share with us in terms of time being right then and there? If you could share that much with us, and then we're going to go back to Shakuru. So when you pop the question, we'll ask her. What was her thinking and feeling at that time? Brother Bilal, talk to us, because usually the man make the proposal. It don't always have to be like that, because we know the life of the Prophet Muhammad before he became the Prophet. It was just the other way around, where Khadija Rahim Allah Anna, she was the one that pursued Muhammad ibn Abdullah. She was the one that proposed to him. This is part of the sirah of the Prophet Muhammad. What was your thinking, Brother Bilal? Share with us, the radio listening audience here at IWDM.
Well, my thinking, number one, was the fact that I wanted to be married.
aspect. She wanted to be married. That was the number reason why we were communicating, and we wanted a wholesome marriage life. So I felt like, you know, you could not necessarily that she was going to say yes, but it was more of the fact that, you know, we sitting here, one, the courtship is not for us to just be friends. Of course, that's part of it. But it was to, courtship was the courtship to marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's like you already know that you're not trying to just talk just so y'all can just be around each other all the time. You know, that you already knew. So I felt like I knew that that was good for me to ask. And, you know, it came from my heart. I wanted to ask her. And, you know, I didn't want to let her get away. So I figured if I ain't asked now, I can get that out the way. And she had said no.
So, Brother, you know, in all honesty, it wasn't like a raffling, but in your mind, but it was like, I need to go ahead and just ask to see what her thinking is. And you really didn't really at that particular time know what her answer would actually be. But you know that you felt like in your heart and your mind that you were ready for marriage. You knew that she wanted to be married. And let me say to the radio listening audience, this, what it is that we teach you on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And, you know, in Islam, we don't date. You know, dating doesn't necessarily have an objective. You could date forever and a day, and you could just date different women, you know, or different men, and never be committed to the sacred institution of marriage. So we don't use that in Islamic terminology, but courtship actually, in terms of the objective, and you have to state your niyyah, for those who don't know, you have to state your intention and be sincere and committed to that. That's very important. This is one of the distinguishing factors when we talk about Islamic courtship. It's a courtship to get to know each other and not just to date each other. It's more for expression than impression, as dating is oftentimes, you see, just to impress each other in that regard, but with no real intention for marriage. So both of you all were clear on that. It's just a matter of when that was going to happen. And so obviously you was thinking that the time was right to ask him, because you didn't want it just to continue to linger on, you not knowing, so you'd make that decision to ask her. So, Shakuro, when he popped the question to you, did it catch you off guard? What was your thinking? And then how did you feel, and were you prepared to answer right then? Talk to us, Shakuro.
Okay, actually, it went like this. When he initially was proposing marriage, It didn't come out the way that I wanted it to come out. Okay? So he was saying something about he thinks is that we should move forward, and if I agree and then he agrees and maybe we get, you know, and get married and et cetera. I said, wait, hold up. Are you asking me to marry you? And he said, well, I just want to know, you know, might say no. I said, hold on. I said, if you're not going to be brave enough, strong enough to ask me, man, to marry you, I said, well, then, I said, I'm not about to make this agreement to marry you. I said, I'm expecting you to ask me because you brought this to me.
I said,
So are you asking me or not? I said, so, yeah. I said, so if you're not getting on one knee or if you're not doing something, I said, then it's not happening, brother. And so, he was just blown back. Like, what? She's crazy, apparently.
So you really put something on his mind there, Shakuro, by talking and speaking to him like that. In other words, You got to be firm in how you are actually stating this. It can be iffy in that regard. Am I correct? Is that what you were conveying to him at that point?
Yes, that's exactly what I was conveying to him. And so he stood up and he straightened it up and he asked me. And then he said, oh, I got to get down on one knee. So that's what you want, right? Right? I'm like, yeah, bro. I don't know if that was in Islam. And he was like, I don't know if that's in Islam. I said, I don't either, but I need you to get down there still. And so, he did. He asked me.
I'm laughing
because
it's funny. I remember that.
I said, okay, I guess we're getting married, inshallah. You know, that's our intentions, and we got to talk to the imam and figure it out. And then it was just a huge joy. It was just a ripple in the community. It was a wonderful time.
Alhamdulillah.
Mark,
so
let me ask.
Yeah,
Mark,
go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
And so that's the reason why I asked in 7 days. Because I'm like, man, she turned me down. I ain't getting ready to be walking around here looking all sad. So let me go ahead. And I said, never mind. I'm going to ask her right now. And she said, that ain't the way I want to be asked. I was like, okay, how you want to be asked? Because I'm sure I'm going to ask you again.
So that's beautiful. No, this is a beautiful narrative. I got one more question that I'm going to ask, and then I'm going to turn it over to Kavila Akbar. Before I do, I just want to get a mic check here. Do I have our engineer, the priest Abdul Hadi, with us? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mark Shahid, and your distinguished guest and your IDM radio listenership. I am in.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for joining us here, Zapriza Hadi. Now, I got to ask this question because it seemed like you're still very, very young, Shakuru. 8 years difference here. Are you 17 or are you 18 at this point? And I have
19.
To ask this question. You're 18 at that point?
I was 19.
Oh, 19. Okay, we want to give you all your you're 19. So we want to give you all your years and everything here. So what was the thinking of your parents when you talked to them and everything, and when actually your parents actually met Bilal, and then vice versa, as you may already know, he may have said, I actually had the honor of meeting his mother, Helen, before I actually met him as he was living on the West Coast at that time, very young in the religion of Al-Islam. So if you could very succinctly talk to us about once the question was popped to you, and were your parents the first to know? And if so, what was their reaction to that, if you would, very succinctly?
Well, I had to, after that, I went directly home after that class, and he asked me after the class, and I went directly home, and I was about to tell my parents. And instead, I went and made salat and extra rock crackers, whatever I could do. So I could go in here and tell them that I'm getting married. Because I wasn't thinking about, well, he needs to ask my dad or anything. But So after I made some rock crackers, I went in. They were eating a late dinner, and I said, I'm getting married. Like that. Honestly, I just said it all strangely, like I'm getting married, and nervously, and I turned around and walked away. And they said, what? Come back here. And I said, yeah, I'm getting married. He asked me to marry him. And they was like, what? No, we need to meet him. He needs to ask me first. So,
that was the response of your father. And so what you saying, had they not met him at that time before, or it was that he had not met your parents until, but they knew that that you had an interest in a brother but they had not met him, and we need to meet him first.
Yes.
And for them to have their blessings and all.
Yeah, it was like a front. No, they had not actually met him before that. We had seen him prior. My mom had, you know, would come to the masjid, and she had seen him prior, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, too, but not a formal meeting. And so okay, now they were like, oh, that's the brother, once they did finally meet him. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and,
okay, so.
And he asked them. And when he had a conversation with my dad, who I felt like said some unflattering things about me, because I thought I was so amazing. But he told my husband some things like, this is what you're going to have to deal with her. And
okay.
My husband like will still bring that up. Your dad, yeah, I remember your dad said this. I'm like, it's 40 years later. Stop bringing that old stuff up.
Okay.
You know, but it still stands true that was just, that's who I was. And.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so your father was given the 411 in regards to you at that particular time is when it met. So, Brother Bilal, my last question to you was in terms of actually meeting her parents for the first time, sweaty palms or what? And were you prepared to say a certain thing, especially to her father, in terms of want to wed his daughter or what? Your response, Bilal, talk to us.
Well, you know, one thing that I felt about her parents, and I always still tell her, is that
mm-hmm.
her parents and her grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Mother on her dad's side, they were all
mm-hmm.
Muslim. Sakura was born Muslim.
Yes.
Her grandparents was Muslim. Her uncle was Ahmed Jamal, the famous
mm-hmm.
jazz player. He was married
oh, yeah.
to her aunt. He was married to her aunt. So they came from Islam.
Mm-hmm.
They came. They had Islam in their family, like in the 50s.
Yeah.
In the 50s, early 50s. And
mm-hmm.
I knew that they wanted their family to be raised in Islam. And I knew I was the one to do it. So I wasn't really that worried. Not being, I wasn't like, you know, like when her pops came out the door, he was a big old dude. He came out the door, he was looking all tough. And I was like, oh, boy, here we go.
Mandingo warrior, what he was like.
When he came out the door, and I looked at him, and I said, oh, he wants his family to be Muslim. And he raised his family to be Muslim. That's what I wanted. And I knew it wasn't going to really be no problem as far as that concerned. So it wasn't going
yes,
to, I didn't have that kind of problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that's exactly what their family was doing. And you know, that's what I wanted. So I felt like I was going to still be able to help lead the family continue the Islamic legacy. And that's why I felt like, you know.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So that's excellent. Thank you for that, Brother Bilal and Shakur. I, at this point, I want to turn it over to my co-host, Khalila Akbar, that you may have a couple few questions that you would like to ask our honored couple. Khalila Akbar. Take yourself off of mute if you're on mute. Are you there? Assalamu alaikum. Assalam.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Shakur Hu and Brother Bilal. I just love the fact that you're telling your narrative and your story. The uniqueness in that is that we know that Allah brings people together. And I heard since the very beginning of your courtship that you both had a high regard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, but you knew exactly what you wanted in the person that you wanted to marry. And I think that is very honorable and profound, especially at that age that you were. You were young,
both of you,
relatively young. And so I wanted to ask you, because this is your narrative, and I want to ask you, what advice would you give to the young adults currently seeking marriage? Because you know, they have, everybody has their own perspective. Some people would say, hey, 7 days, no way. I got to get more time to get to know this person. And we put a lot of stipulations on ourselves sometimes that are not necessarily Islamic and not necessarily good for every situation. And I'm a true believer in that when Allah brings something to you and it's for you, it's meant to happen. And I see that in your story. So what would you share with our young adults that are coming up in reference to seeking a compatible mate for marriage, inshallah?
And you're asking me or either of us?
Both of you. If you could go first, this is Shakori. Like that.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Can you say the question again, please? Can you repeat the question, please?
Yes, ma'am. Just give your perspective on what you would think would help the young adults that are currently seeking marriage in today's time. I don't know. You're in Atlanta, and I know they have a high population of young adults, from my understanding. I just wanted to know what advice that you would give them when it comes to seeking marriage, based off of not just your experience, but the times that we live in today and your observations of what's going on with the young adults today.
Yes.
In shop.
Okay. Okay, excuse me. Yes, I've had the opportunity actually to be a mentor to, throughout the years, but even here recently in Atlanta to a number of young sisters. So my advice to them, this is difficult. This is a different challenge that they face now, and it seems to be quite difficult. So it's almost like when I say something to them, some of them feel like, well, that's the old way. You know, what else you got? And it's really interesting. It's almost like a pushback, as if they feel like whatever I'm doing, that's not going to work for them. You know, but there are younger couples. I feel like the advice, they're more what do you call it, malleable. They are more susceptible to,
yeah,
or you know, to hearing the good stories or narratives from a couple who've been married a long time, like our grandsons, et cetera, or in a courtship. And they want to hear about, you know, how it was for us. They're excited, and they even tell us about how it is for them and meeting and talking with the young people, et cetera, you know, with their prospective mate, inshallah. So they are more of listening. I find that more pushback comes from myself. I find it with the sisters who are a little older, maybe in their 30s or late 30s. Early 30s to 40s. But what they're asking me is they say they need for me to show them more so how to be as a woman. And I thought that was profound, because I'm like, well, where's your mom? Well, where are your aunts? They're like, well, they're there, but I need to know how to be as a woman, as a Muslim woman, and we're watching you. So I see them watching me and watching us interact, because I've been my fashions most Fridays after Juma here at the bazaar, or after Juma, I'm sorry. But I've been. So I see them watching me, and they come over, and they just stand and looking at me. Sometimes I'm like, what's going on? Why are they watching me? You know, what's happening? And so I found out is that they're saying is that we're watching because we want to know how to be. We watch you. We watch your husband come down and set your booth up. We watch you all interact. We watch how you all communicate. And we're trying to figure out what are we doing wrong, because you all are still together after all these years. And they said they've even seen us, like, have a little bit of friction here and there. They're like, I want the table over here. He's like, the table's going to be what the table's going to be. And I'm like, and so they observe us, and they're like, and you handle him so good, and he comes back and moves that table. So I think that's just our ebb and flow. So I would like to say I can have this one advice that I believe that should work for all, but because it's, that advice is to honor that contract that you make with Allah in your marriage.
Yes.
But before they get married, it is to know is that Allah puts the love and mercy between your hearts. You're not putting it there. You're not going to force it there. You're not going to make it happen because you're infatuated because you think that person is cute or really handsome, or they have a certain physique, a body physique that you're interested in. That's not going to make it happen. Those things, infatuation will not keep you together.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We have to go to those different levels. We have to go, come to the next level in marriage. I was telling sister that recently. We have to come to the next stage, and the next stage,
yes.
And the next stage. There are deeper stages. But if the individuals don't know themselves, and don't understand that, and they won't understand is that the marriage has different stages, is that you yourself, that purpose of getting married, I'm sorry, I'm kind of going a little bit far, but that purpose of getting married, what you'll find in that, in you getting married, is that other person is there to help bring out in you what you need to see in yourself, what you need to change in yourself, where you need to be better at. So you'll be challenged, and you may think it's done, we're done, this is over with, but maybe there's something for you to look at there in yourself. Maybe they need to look at something in themselves, et cetera. But one of the main things I've been telling young people, not so young, is that they need to get to know these people. Because what I've been observing is sisters saying, well, I'm on a date here, well, I'm here, and he cooked for me. I'm like, who's there? He's cooking for you? He's what? Who else is there? How are you doing so many different things? Who else is there? That Shaitan is the third, is the other party.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
And they're like, well, that was the old ways. We're grown enough. I'm like, my husband and I, before we met, we did, where did we go? Oh, the imam has said, well, you're grown enough. And I said, I'm 19. I don't know him. I don't want to do that. I don't want to just go out with him. He said, well, then go to a public place where a lot of people are. And you're in separate cars, so just show up and be in public with other people. I said, okay,
mm-hmm.
I can do that. Yeah, so I'm once you get a... Yeah, but once they get a certain age, I think it's people are doing their own thing, and then they're expecting it to work, but you're doing your own thing. You're not doing the best thing for you.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am, and I hear you had strong values, and you stuck to those values in spite of other people's opinions, and that's so important for anyone who's entering into the sacred institution of marriage. And I just love your story. I don't want to talk too much because it is profound, and it takes us on a journey from your innocence and your youth, and then
are you still there, Khalil Akbar? Or did she drop? Are you still there, Khalil Akbar?
Yes, that was very, very excellent. Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
Thank you, yes, ma'am.
Can I say
so
one more thing? Bilal?
Absolutely,
no,
yes,
okay,
ma'am.
I want to add. I'm sorry, Bilal. She looks away. I want to say one more thing that I tell young people is to find out as much as you can about the other person as you can. I mean, as much as you can. I mean, nowadays they got background checks, all kind of stuff. But I think those things are important because I've seen a number of sisters where people will actually use my husband and I and say we know this couple, and they're dating the sisters and somebody's family and saying that they know Bilal and Shakuru, and we don't know them at all. And this has been numerous times that they're
not
claiming
good.
To know us. They're
not
lying. They pull from social media sites, et cetera. They build a whole story around how they know us. They might have been in the background. They might have been where we were, and they're presenting themselves a certain way. And the women are going through a lot of strife as a result of that. So I feel like to do background checks. And also, once you do that, observe people with their family, ask their relatives how they are, observe people. You want to know how they act when they get angry, how they act when they get upset or depressed. You want to know all different kinds of things because those things are going to impact you.
I want to add something to what Shakur was saying. Shakur, and this is true, there have been times that brothers have used us as a way to get close to the women and say that they know us, this and that, and they're good friends of us, stuff like that, and kind of find out the women don't check back with us and ask us, do we know these people before they end up marrying them, too. That's not good. So that's all I want to add on that part. But as far as something to say, I'll give it an example. So recently, our family had the opportunity of purchasing the Halal Meat Market that's in Atlanta Masjid Courtyard. We have been here for over 30-some years. Last year, last September, we purchased it, our family have, and we've been working there. Our family been working, our grandkids been working, and we've hired numerous of youth in the community to work. And we always see youth come in and out of the community. We see youth come in the stores. We see young people, old people, just all kind of people come in the store. So I was having a conversation with my grandson. He's a college student. And so as the young people were coming in the stores, I used to say to them, we have a community cafe. I don't know if any of you all have been to Atlanta. We have a wonderful community cafe, barbershop, beauty salon. We have all these things that in the community, in the school, around the corner. So I told my grandson one day, some young sisters had came in the store, and they were giggling, looking at him. And they were smiling and going to go buy candy and different little stuff and chips. And so I nudged my grandson, and I said, did you see the young sister over there? They all looking at you. He said, oh, no, granddad, I'm not getting ready to find me nobody here. I'm not doing none of that. I'm going to college, and I'm going to find me somebody in college. I ain't trying to find nobody up here in the community, in the store. I'm not doing none of that. I said, what's wrong with that? He said, no, I'm trying to find some people that got my interest. That ain't nothing I want to do. I'm not interested in it. He said, I'm just going to go ahead and go to college, find some people in college. I said, well, what if she have your interest like you? He said, that's going to be rare, granddaddy. That's just going to be rare. I said, okay. I said, all right. I said, well, what if it is? He said, no, I doubt that. Well, lo and behold, it is just a wonderful situation to see my grandson in the community cafe sitting with the young sister, him and the young sister, and they in their courtship, and to see him. And whenever I see him in the community, they smile because she just graduated from W.D. Muhammad High. He's in his second year in college. She's going to college. And to see them all talking together, you can see a future. And so one day I said to him, I said, hey, grandson, I said, whatever happened to that idea talking about you ain't want to meet nobody in the community? He said, oh, well, you know, that's dead and gone, granddad. He said, you was right. He said, you was exactly right. He said, everything that I needed was right here in my community. She had the same interests. She had the same life. She come from the same kind of people that I come from. I ain't got to worry about this or that. He said, you was right. He said, I just had to figure that out on my own, but you was right the whole time. And I'm saying that as long as we show up and be who we are and keep living and keep seeing that we're not going to let this thing die down, this thing is going to keep going. It's going to keep going. They're going to realize how valuable what they have. I see it right now with my grandson. He comes to the cafe when he's not working at the market. He comes to make sure he comes to the cafe and spend a little time there. He's just making sure that he sees it and people see him together. It's a wonderful situation because it's inspiring to the other young people that there is hope we're talking young people, that there is a future with our young people that know that this direction is a direction that we can't stop now.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that's excellent, Brother Bilal and Sister Shakuru, in terms of that, that's very, very inspirational and motivational for us as a community. So our radio listening audience, I want to say to you, we want to thank you for your patience. You've heard a beautiful, beautiful marriage narrative and a love story, even in that sacred institution of marriage, and even more in regards to the Bilal family. And so if you have a question or a comment that you would like to make to our very distinguished, esteemed couple, all you have to do is press 1, and come into the queue. For those of you who are listening by way of the Internet, we know we have a lot of people who listen by way of the Internet. If you want to ask a question or make a comment to our distinguished couple, you have to call into the studio of IWDM Radio, and that number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673, and you have to press 1. And our engineer, the priest Abdul Hadi, will inform me that you're in the queue, you got your hand up, you want to ask a question or make a comment, or you may just want to just give the greetings and let our distinguished couple know how much you appreciate them sharing their marriage narrative with you and that it really resonated with you. So we accept all of those calls. If you would, press 1, come into the queue. So we're going to go to our engineer, the priest Abdul Hadi. Any hands in the air at this point?
Yes, sir. We do. We have 1111.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Just open their mic and what they have on their mind.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Amina, the one you see mostly every week at Juma or in the courtyard. I just had to call in. I said one of my favorite couples is on tonight. I had to call in and give the greetings. I know your whole family. I remember. I've been here about as long as you all have, over 40 years. Yes. 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 So I just had to call in. I love you all. You have such a good example of family legacy and just Dean. I love it. And, of course, my brother is a wonderful example to the brothers that need to get it together, some of them. And then sister, of course, Shakuru. You with your beautiful fashions all these years. So, you know, and we always have the blowout every year, Mother's Day. Yes. So I just had to call in. Salamu alaikum.
Thank you so much, Sister Amina. One of the supporters of IWDM and actually of all the Islamic programming, Sister Amina supports all that is good. And so we thank her for calling in. And all, please press 1, Sister Amina. That completes the process. Once you're muted, press 1 so you can go out to queue. The priest Abdul Hadi, any other callers in the queue with their hands up?
There were no other callers at this time.
Okay. So, the Priest Hadi, you got anything you'd like to say to our distinguished couple before we get into the true love recipe?
I just want to say congratulations, hugs and love to you all. And it's just a beautiful story that you shared with us. And just recognizing from the very beginning, listening, you know, how he knew. He's like, okay, it was something going on, and it didn't have anything to do with necessary, like he said earlier, the physical presentation. It was the mind thing that was going on. Something in the heart and the mind was connecting. And, you know, and you all felt that, as you young folks would say, that vibe going, you know what I'm saying? And we know now as we are seasoned that that's actually the encouragement from Allah, you know, telling you, okay, check it out, look, you know, be conscious, but check things out, you know. Like it said in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, it says, when information comes to you, you know, don't just dismiss it. Oh, so it was like when you all met, you didn't just miss it. It was something that made you pick up on it. You know what I'm saying? So I really do appreciate you all sharing that with us. And may Allah bless you with so many more years. And you come out.
Alhamdulillah. Very well said, the priest Abdul Hadi. Now we want to switch gears here to both of you, Abdul Hakim and Shukuru Bilal. And we're on the True Love Recipe, and Khalila Akbar and myself, we left off 2 weeks ago as we was experiencing difficulties for the last couple of weeks. Praise be to Allah. Allah bless us to be back here on IWDM Radio. But we left off in the True Love Recipe on T5 is qualities and characteristics that I'm calling natural organic ingredients in my True Love Recipe. And so we actually did two the last time we was on air here at WDM Radio. And I'm going to give those five, and we're going to get some insight from both of you all in terms of your insight and wisdom that you can share with us on these qualities and characteristics. The first one, T1, was tranquility. T2 was transparency. Those are two that we discussed. Very in-depth, a lot of information, education, and many of these qualities and characteristics we can actually see in the Quran. As the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, its foundation is Al-Quran, the final revelation to all of humanity and the guidance in every aspect of the human life, including the sacred institution of marriage. And we discussed that. So we have actually three left, which is truthful and trustworthy, and finally, thoughtfulness. And we usually have a little fun with the last one in terms of looking at the measurement from our couple. Would it be a teaspoon, a tablespoon, a half a cup, or a full cup? So thoughtfulness would be T5. So I want to get your insight on T3, which is truthful. And it's in my True Love Recipe that you can't really truly have true love in the sacred institution of marriage unless you are truthful. Very, very, very important to be truthful. And I was inspired by the fact that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he became the prophet, where he was Muhammad ibn Abdullah, it was the people of that time that referred to him as Sadiq and also Al-Amin. Al-Sadiq meaning the truthful one. How important to you would truthfulness be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if it would not be in your true love recipe, could it truly be true love? And that's my question to you. So I'm going to start with you this time, Brother Bilal, in terms of truthfulness. It's in my true love recipe. Would it be in yours? And if it would be in yours, why would it be in yours? And if it wouldn't be in your true love recipe, would it truly be a true love recipe if truthfulness was not in there? Brother Bilal, I'm going to give you 2 to 3 minutes, to respond. You don't have to use all of that time, but give your insight on truthfulness. Would it be in your true love recipe? Brother Bilal, talk to us.
So it's our true love recipe. You know, truthfulness is a very important thing about what you believe in.
You're kind of fading, Brother Bilal. I don't know. You're kind of fading a little bit. Get a little closer to your microphone
okay.
there, if you would. You're fading a little bit.
All right. Truthfulness is more about, you know, you have to have belief in yourself, what you believe about yourself, what you believe enough about yourself openly to be able to share with the person that you love in terms of how you feel about yourself, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then also about how you feel about the things that you're responsible for in your life and in your marriage. I think those are important to be truthful about them, and to the degree of your understanding of what you know, or what you know. Sure, we learn later how to be better at it, but I think, you know, those are the things that, you know, yeah, you got to be truthful with what you know that exists at the moment that you know it. And when you don't know what you're doing, then you got to be better at it. You know, it's truthful how you express yourself.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Very well said, Brother Bilal. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that. Now I'm coming to you, Shakuru, in terms of truthfulness. Is it my true love recipe? Would it be in your true love recipe? And if so, why would it be your true love recipe? And if not, would it really be true love? When we say true love, and we see true there, what would it actually be if it wasn't an ingredient in the true love recipe for you? Shakuru, talk to us. If you got 2 to 3 minutes of response, please.
Okay. I think I want to start by saying something, because this kind of touches me in a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to look at it like this. I think women, young girls, is that we are sold a fantasy of what marriage is, et cetera, and, you know, and how we are to look at it. And there was this song that came out once, and it was called, the song came out. It was called Tell Me Lies. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies. And I was like, what? She said, tell me lies. Like, what? Because she didn't want to hear the real truth. She just wanted to hear the fantasy of it all, because that is where her that's where her love would be at. That's
mm-hmm.
where the bubble wouldn't burst. It would be like a perfection or something. So
mm-hmm.
I think for us to be truthful with each other, you have to offer a person a soft landing space to be able to be truthful with you, for you to be truthful with them, and they have
mm-hmm.
to be vulnerable enough to be truthful and honest and, you know, et cetera, and know is that you'll accept the truth, that you can accept it, because some of us, most women, a lot of things, we can't always accept the truth. And I'm just saying, because I know that that's for me, you know. We can't always
mm-hmm.
accept the truth of something, that this person still loves you, but the truth may be that this is a situation. Not saying what this is, but this, you know, that it could be a particular situation, but there's
yes.
still love there. But
mm-hmm.
we'd rather hear a lie. I'd rather hear a lie. And I used to didn't think I wanted to hear a lie, but I think I'm running into, I just need a fantasy. I'm just being truthful right there.
Yes.
So I like to just be, yeah.
Alhamdulillah. No, that's beautiful. You know, you heard that. You heard this, and you know, I said not to get rattled in regards to that, but you inadvertently mentioned 2 other of qualities and characteristics in the true love recipe, one being honest. When we went at the letter H, honesty. And some of these are overlapping, but to be truthful is to be honest. So with the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I said, before he became the prophet, the people saw him as an honest man. If he said something, they knew it was true. No doubt about it. There was no skepticism in regards to who Muhammad ibn Abdullah was. Actually, the name Al-Sadiq was a title before it actually became a name. And the people, you understand, saw that in him, and they bestowed that title upon him as being the truthful one. You also mentioned, Shakur, in your response to this being a part of your true love recipe, vulnerable or vulnerability. We haven't got to V yet, but most certainly vulnerability. Vulnerability, which is going to kind of lead into the next of the T4, which is trustworthy. Trustworthy. You have to be vulnerable, you know, in that regard, which requires trust. Actually, the intimacy is into me, you see, you know, in that regard. So you have to be truthful, and you have to make yourself vulnerable, whereas that you would trust that what it is that you say to this special person in your life, you understand, that you can feel safeguarded that it won't go out and go to any and everybody. That is the vulnerability. And it's very, very difficult for a lot of times for men to be vulnerable in that regard. I want to say that. So we want to ask Khalil Akbar also, would this be in your true love recipe in terms of truthfulness? If so, Khalil Akbar, then why? And if not, could it truly be a true love recipe if that person wasn't truthful, if you weren't truthful, they weren't truthful? How would that look? Would it truly be true love in the sacred institution of marriage? 2 to 3 minutes for you to respond to that, Khalil Akbar.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, first I want to speak to Shakuru, because she said something that resonated with me. I had a friend years ago, and it was a woman, well over 40, who had, we were just having some sister talk at our place of employment, and she said that it would be so devastating for her to have any information from her husband that would break her heart. She would rather a man tell her the untruth than tell her something that would break her heart. And we have to look as women a little deeper and know that we don't ever want any falsehood. And we don't ever want to put anything before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put that before knowing the truth, because in the end, the truth will come to light. And so thank you for bringing that out. Sometimes women do that just because they rather hear, you know, the fluff and the good things. Of course, we're sensitive. We love that. But you have to deal with reality, because in the end, it's going to come out anyway. So excellent point, Sister Shakuru. Yes, brother. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I am so just feeling you and your husband and your dialogue tonight, and I appreciate that. But for me, actions speak louder than words. My truth would be your actions. If someone's telling me good things, I love that. I'm a poet. I love to hear the beautiful things, because we look for that, and I love it. But I look for the action and the way that they treat me, themselves, the children, the community. That, to me, is more important than anything. You live your truth. And you, as you and your husband, you feel it, you cultivate it, and you become one in that sense. And I thank you for your comments. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
You talking to me?
Yes, ma'am. I thought you were getting ready to say something. You said okay, or were you speaking to someone else?
I actually was. I was a bit distracted for a second when you were talking about us not wanting any falsehood there. And, yes, that is something that at different times I would have to grapple with, because I would have sisters in the community, especially when I was quite young, who had established families. They would have between 5, 6, 8, 9 children, et cetera. You know, my mom had 5 children, so yes, I did look to her. These women right there in the community often that I would go to for consults, so they would come to consult with me. And my husband is telling me to keep it down, but I'm going to be truthful. I'm going to be truthful, but I'm not going to say anything that please allow. Excuse me. I'm saying that some of the guidance that I was receiving was to not challenge anything, and to not you know, it's to just leave it where it is. Don't ask any questions. So I'm like, well, how come I can't get any clarity? Why can't I ask for a truth? Like, you don't want to know the truth. You may not want to know the truth. Maybe the truth isn't going to be. So that's what I saw the majority of.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And I mean, I'd be challenging. I'm like, what's going on? And I was right there. You know, when, is our phone breaking up?
It might be underneath. That's what I mean. Okay,
so what we're gonna do, alhamdulillah, that's excellent insight that all of you have shared. With that, we're gonna move on as we up against time here. Some excellent insight and wisdom that you're sharing in regards to truth and how important it is, because we know that one of the attributes of Almighty God, Allah, is Al-Haq, that means that Allah is the source of the truth and the reality. And so we look at, you know, words that end in the suffix ality as reality of what is real. And as Khalil Akbar say, in terms of what is real is what is that we can see. Actions speak louder than words. The actions actually becomes a confirmation for the verbalization in that regard. So there have to be a congruency, you know. Take for instance the Shahadatain. That becomes the verbalization. That is actually the opening coming into this way of life that we say is the Islamic way of life. That's the verbalization. It can't be any coercion or compelling to do that. It has to come truthfully from you when you come to that conclusion yourself. And nobody can say you've been around here 3, 4, 5, 10 years and you haven't taken the Shahadatain. That's the first thing. But the reality of taking the Shahadatain in terms of bearing witness that there's nothing that deserves to be served or worshipped except for one God. He doesn't have any partners nor associates. And also bearing witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his servant and messenger. The important thing or the challenge for all Muslims is the demonstration of that in your life. And when you actually are living that, you are not putting anything before Allah. You are not partnering. You are not associating. If you understand what I'm saying, because the idols and stuff are still with us, not maybe say at the time of the prophet, but the false ideas, as Imam Muhammad say, that we can have false ideas and false thinking in our makeup, where we're putting that on the same level, partnering it with Allah. This is very, very important for us to note. So oftentimes we have to check ourselves in terms of, are we putting our thinking, are we putting our feelings, are we putting our emotions? And I heard your sisters speak about that. And that goes also for men too. It's just not one-sided in terms of just only women that actually have an issue or problem with that. Can't stand the truth, don't want the truth, makes me feel bad, it damages my self-esteem in all of these things. So when we are taking the Shahadatain, it is much more than most of us realize. not only in the verbalization, but the demonstration of making your life bear witness that there is nothing that deserves to be served or worshiped more so than one God, Allah. And that becomes a testimony. And Muhammad is his messenger. So I wanted to say that, and we're going to move forward with this in terms of looking at trustworthy. Is it my true love recipe? My question to you, and the reason it is, once again, as we say here on the Question of Marriage Learning Lab, we have a foundation for the dissemination and information and education that we give here on Question of Marriage, because once again, with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before becoming God's Rasul, his messenger, the people acknowledge him as El Amin. Is El Amin. And for those who are not Muslim listening in, it simply means that he was seen as the trustworthy one, the trustworthy one. These are two qualities and characteristics. Obviously, if you are on the fence and you're looking for a mate, these obviously were qualities and characteristics that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had before becoming God's messenger. So these actually would be two very, very significant, important qualities and characteristics in the true love recipe, obviously. So I want to ask you this time, Shakura, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Bilal. In terms of trustworthiness, would trustworthiness be in your true love recipe? And if so, why would it be in your true love recipe? And if it wasn't, could it truly be true love without being trustworthy? You got 2 minutes. Talk to us, if you would, Shakura.
Mark, you wanna say that one more time, just a little bit.
Okay. So we're talking about trustworthiness as being a quality and a characteristic in your true love recipe. Someone come to you and say, would trustworthy, if we're talking about words that began with T, would trustworthy be in your true love recipe? And if it would be in your true love recipe, why would it be? And if you say, no, I don't think trustworthy is all that important in the true love recipe, then my question would be, could it really, truly be true love without having trustworthy as a part of that true love recipe? Now, remember, we're not talking about Western society love. Everybody just throw love around. Love you more. Love you most. One of those things that sometimes we even hear in our family, sometimes even in the Muslim community, and sometimes just friends or whatever, but there's no substantive value in that. So we're talking from an Islamic perspective in terms of true love. Would that quality, would that characteristic that was exemplified, obviously, by the Prophet Muhammad before becoming the Rasul, the messenger of Allah, as the people saw it, would that be a quality, a characteristic in your true love recipe? Would that be an ingredient? So this time, Shakuru, I'm going to start with you. Would trustworthy be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, would it truly be true love? Talk to us 2 minutes.
Okay. Trustworthiness, I've always felt like that was a top priority for me, that was something that I really valued, was trustworthiness between my husband and myself, because I would say it was the covenant that we had with Allah, and that we had to have that trustworthiness. So that is a part of my love recipe, or my recipe with that. However, that was a challenge for us at different times in our marriage. Just being honest here, that was a challenge at different times. So I would say to my husband sometimes, I say, I can trust you to lie to me, and he would say, what does that mean? And I'm like, I think you know what I mean. I didn't want to explain it. I wanted him to think on what I said.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't sure how the words were hitting, or you know, was it being conveyed to him, or was he even thinking about it? Like, he was like, whatever, she's already saying something, right? Studying psychology, just throwing something out there. I didn't think that he was really considering it, but I would say that. Because often, maybe we weren't having discussions, maybe it wasn't going as well, we didn't have, like, sufficient, I would say, counseling, marriage counseling sessions, which could have aided us better in our communication at times, you know, to help us to grow more as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a point of contention there that I felt like detracted somewhat away from the bond that I felt like we had. And I used to often tell him it was a dua. I would say we need to make this dua, et cetera. We need to remember this dua for our bond, et cetera. I think
mm-hmm.
I was trying to hold something together that at times I felt like it was falling apart. But I don't think it was really falling apart. I think it was him growing and learning about himself and my learning about myself. And
yes.
Also maybe I was,
Alhamdulillah. No, that's excellent. I'm glad that you, are bringing that up because oftentimes, you know, when you have been married as long as you two have been married, sometimes these things can be challenging and questions and all come up in your mind in regards to that. So I want to thank you for sharing that and for letting us know that trustworthiness would be a part, a key ingredient in your true love recipe. So now, Bilal, you got 2 minutes. The same question, would trustworthiness be in your true love recipe? And if so, why would it be? And if it was not a part of your true love recipe, could it and would it really be true love or not? Talk to us 2 minutes, Brother Bilal, if you would, please.
Yes, indeed, trustworthy would be in it. You want to trust and believe in the person that you're with, that you love, that you're concerned with, and do what you want to trust and believe in yourself, that you're going to be trustworthy to do the right thing. And a lot of times, those are things that you grow into yourself, to be honest, to know about trusting yourself. You know your limits. You know what you believe in. You know what your faith is, and you know what you know, to be able to convey that to somebody else that you trust yourself. You know, they don't know, like, well, what that mean? You trust yourself. You know, when everything else don't say no. Everything else is out there to make sure that you don't trust yourself to make the right decisions when you face with anything that might be challenging outside of your marriage. So all of those things are pretty much a part of knowing about who you are, really what you stand for, and what you really want to be in order to really bring that whole wholesomeness to the whole thing in whatever that you say that you believe in, what you're a part of.
Alhamdulillah.
You want to know those things, and they come with challenges, but you still want to know. You want to be able to trust in yourself,
mm-hmm.
trust that guy, that what you believe, what you have faith in, that you're going to make the right decisions.
Yes,
based on that type of trust. Yeah, all that's part of that.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Bilal. Alhamdulillah. I can hear the fervor in your voice. I'm going to ask Khalil Akbar also the same question in the same time frame, and inshallah, you know, next week we may look at it even more in depth. But Khalil Akbar, you know, would trustworthy be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, could it truly be true love? Now, yes, true love, that's a very necessary qualifier for true love. Would it be in your true love recipe. A couple of minutes, if you would, Khalil Akbar, talk to us.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, definitely trustworthiness would be in my true love recipe, and I want to break the words apart, trust and worthy, and look at it as someone going into any type of relationship. Right now we're talking about marriage, which is one of the or is the most important relationship we can enter with another human being. Mm-hmm. That the person should not just, you don't just trust people from day one. It is mm-hmm. earned. Trust is earned. And that is one of the things that I had to learn also, especially being in a Muslim and growing up in a community of Muslims, that there is a certain amount of trust that you give, being a believer. But we also have to know that trust is earned. You don't just go out and just trust people just because on face value, like they said. So the worthiness comes in the behavior patterns, the actions. Like Sister Shakur was saying, she liked the fact, and Brother Bilal, they liked the fact that they both were believers. They liked the fact that he could see that light shining on her because she had strong convictions about her religion, even at a young age, and what they wanted to do. And their story is just so phenomenal, and we want to, inshallah, have them back. But, yeah, Jessa, it will be part of my true love recipe, but it is earned. And in addition to that, there's characteristics that help us and guide us, like the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was named the trustworthy one because of his actions and his character that preceded him.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Boy, this is a whole lot of, I hope our regular listeners, y'all taking very good notes and I'll reserve what I have to say next week and give you an opportunity. But I just want to just say one thing when it comes to trust, out of all of the qualities and characteristics, we should see trust in this recipe as the binder. You know, Bilal knows I was a painter-decorator. That was my profession for years. And actually, I taught a couple of years after working for Disney, Walt Disney Production, exclusively at Disneyland there in Anaheim, California. And when I came back to St. Louis, actually I took a position as a supervisor of St. Louis Housing Painting. And I had women to teach that were residents of St. Louis Housing. And my role for 1 year was to prepare them and teaching them good work ethics, giving them the basic and fundamentals in painting. And I gave them what it is I learned when I was an apprentice and then became a journeyman. Three things that are required for making paint. One, pigment. Pigment is the color. All of these things that I'm naming come out of the natural creation that Allah has created. Pigment. A pigment is what gives paint its color. Number two is vehicle. And you'll see this on paint cans, vehicle. And it's just like a vehicle and that which helps and make the paint move, such as, it's a latex paint or water-based paint that you clean up with water. But then you have an alkali paint, which is oil. You understand? This comes from the natural creation also, but this makes the paint be able to flow. The third thing is very, very important. You can have color, and the paint can move using the tool, a brush, or roller, or a spray gun, what have you, in terms of apparatus that you use. But the thing that makes the paint stick, the binder that is put in paint to make it stick. Well, trust is like the binder. It's like the binder. It's like the glue. That, in other words, if you don't have that, you don't have that in your relationship, you'll come unglued. Lose if there's no trust. There's so much more that'll be in the book, inshallah, that I plan on writing and putting together. But I wanted to say, in terms of looking at that as a purpose, in terms of trust being a binder, very, very important. You can't even say you're married if you look at the opposite of trust. As Khalil Akbar, breaking the word down, trust and worthy. So if you put UN as a prefix, that means untrustworthy, not trustworthy. So you can't be married. I mean, you can have that in your mind, of course, but it would not be a part of the true love recipe in the sacred institution of marriage. And there's so much more I could say about that. But we're going to move on to time here. And the last one here, we're going to have a little fun with this one, is thoughtfulness. Is it my true love recipe? Of course. But just like recipe, any type of recipe, people put different ingredients in that. And I want to know from you all that if thoughtfulness would be your true love recipe, would it be a teaspoon, a tablespoon, a half a cup, or a full cup of thoughtfulness? And first, I want you to answer the question. If it would be in your true love recipe, thoughtfulness, why? And then the second question would be, if it wasn't a part of your true love recipe, would it truly be true love without thoughtfulness? And then I want you to tell me, in terms of measurement, would it be a teaspoon, a tablespoon, a half a cup, or a full cup? And I think I started with you the last time, Shakuru, so I'm going to go to your husband, Bilal. Bilal, talk to me. Would thoughtfulness be your true love recipe, and if so, why? And if not, would it truly be true love without thoughtfulness in there? And then please tell me, would it be a teaspoon, tablespoon, half a cup, or full cup? You got 2 minutes, Bilal, to get all that in. Talk to us, Bilal.
Okay. Yes, thoughtfulness indeed would be in that, because you want to make sure that, you know, you're thinking about your mate, you're thinking about the person that you love, and that not just, like, thinking about them to the degree of, you know, well, what they might want for dinner or something. You think about those things, but, you know, you want to be, like, think about them throughout, you know, you how they doing, what's on their mind. But you want to be able to do that. Now, I can say sometimes it's a half cup, sometimes it's a full cup. I wouldn't want to say it's no teaspoon or it's no nothing like that, because, you know, you think about that person, you might not show it, like, in asking them questions, and but it might be certain little things that you might regard, you might know something that they normally do, and you might go do it, or they might do something for you, and you do something for them instead. It's like to catch those things to make it be like a full cup, say. You know, okay. You have to catch it, but you don't want it to be a teaspoon cup. You don't really want to be, because. You want to at least have a half a cup of thoughtfulness, because, you know, you got to save some for yourself, you know, but you want to have, you know, you got to be able to think about what you, you know, how you're going to manifest what you got to manifest for your, if you're the leader of your family, you really got to manifest what you're supposed to do, because it's like, is you going to be about it or you ain't going to be about it, you know, is you going to do this or you not going to do this, so you got to think about that, but you still got to have time. You know, we're busy. We always running in and out. But do we have time to, like, actually, you know, call or send a message? How you doing? Did you eat something today? Did you know? Just a little stuff. That might not seem like a whole lot. But if you spread that over a period of time, you'll see just how regardful it is in terms of, you know, like, a perfect example: if your mate is sick and you got a cold, or if you ill, everybody is concerned. You know, you're concerned. You might not show the concern because you don't want them to be worried while they sick that you worried about them. So, you know, that's what all I'm saying. It's like having that thoughtfulness about the process of your mate, thinking about them, thinking about the things that you got to do, you know, thinking about a lot of dollars, what that means to all the stuff that you got to do. But then at the same time, you got to find some time to make sure it's not a teach.
Alhamdulillah.
Thinking, you know.
You went a little over your 2 minutes there, Bilal, so alhamdulillah. No, you went over your 2 minutes, but that's, we're up against the wall here. So alhamdulillah, no, I mean, this is, you're giving your insight on these here, and really, thank you. So you said sometimes it could be a half a cup. Sometimes you say it could be a full cup. So alhamdulillah. So we got to go to your wife here and get her in, and also Khalil Akbar in before we wind up tonight's production here in Courtship and Marriage. So Shukuru, the same question to you in terms of thoughtfulness. First and foremost, going to ask you, thoughtfulness being your true love recipe, and if so, why? And if not, could it truly be true love without thoughtfulness being a part of the true love recipe? And I need to know, and we want the radio listening audience to know, in terms of measurement here, would it be a teaspoon, tablespoon, a half cup, or a full cup for you, Shukuru? 2 minutes, if you would, please.
Okay. Thoughtfulness is in my true love recipe, and I want my whole full cup. I'm giving a full cup. I feel like I do things that are natural. But he can say it if he agrees or not. But I do things naturally that are thoughtful. It's just is that we've been together so long. Number one, but I think is that we reciprocate that. And if ever I feel like he's not reciprocating, I will remind him, in which I didn't used to feel comfortable in my younger years reminding him, hey, you didn't think about me when you did this, you know, but now I feel comfortable in reminding him, and then he'll remind me as well if we need a reminder. And I would say, hey, a reminder benefits the believers. We are to be reminders to each other. So I don't mind having to remind him. I used to resent that I had to say, hey, you didn't think about me. I was really young. But definitely that's a part of my true love recipe, because it's the sweetness. It's the icing on the cake.
Alhamdulillah. That's beautifully said, Shukuru. And thank you so much for that. So it would be a full cup for Shukuru Bilal in terms of thoughtfulness. So Khalil Akbar, we're going to give you the last word on this T5 thoughtfulness. Would it be in your true love recipe, first and foremost? And if so, why? And if not, could it truly be true love without thoughtfulness? Just think, if thoughtfulness wasn't in there, would it be leave a big void there? And would it be a teaspoon, tablespoon, half cup, full cup, or Khalil Akbar? You got 2 minutes to convey all that to our regular listening audience. Khalil?
Alhamdulillah, yes. It will be a full cup based on the fact that I'm big on not just going through motions. And
okay,
when you are, I don't like that. I like to feel. I like to connect. I like to see that the person that I am married with has thinks about me. You know, we all like to have a part of our life that is sacred. And that person that you're married to knows things that no one else does. They're connected to you in a way that no other human being can be connected to you. That is the closest two people can ever get, is a married relationship with all the dynamics and all the intimacy and all the soul touching and the having children and all that. It's just priceless. It's priceless. Nothing you can buy can replace it. So in that, the thoughtfulness, the knowing the things that I like, coming home and preparing things every now and then that I like, being ahead of the game, remembering special events, birthdays, anniversaries. I'm not real big on the dates. We don't really celebrate it, but just knowing that that person thought about me, and that Sister Shakura said, the reciprocal of that is so important, and you doing the same for that person, that's what that bond comes in. That's where you know that you have each other's back, and you know that it's just not a fly-by-night thing, or they're not just going through motions. You want it to be exceptional in every way so you can be that best husband or wife that you can be. So, yes, 100%.
I'm in love, full cup. The Prefer Hadi, I can't resist not asking you that question in terms of thoughtfulness. Would it be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, would it truly be true love for you? And would it be a teaspoon, tablespoon, half a cup, a full cup? Talk to us. I'm going to give you 2 minutes, too, in regards to how important is that, the Prefer Hadi?
Yes, sir, alhamdulillah. And I want to tell the brother and the sisters that what they were disseminated in terms of having that in their, you know, in their recipe, yes, thoughtfulness would be a major for me. Because, I mean, I would think because thoughtfulness shows that they are thinking about you. You know, I know. We don't want to get all just think about me all the time, but you know, yeah, these 95 or 6% of it anyway.
You want to be on their mind, you?
Yes, sir. It would be a full cup.
Be a full cup.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. And we do have a caller just jumped in too.
Okay, so we're gonna ask the caller be very succinct, if you would, please, because we're up against time. And I got to give information to IWDM Radio, the other productions that are here 7 days a week. Let's go, caller. Welcome to IWDM Radio. And what's your name and where you calling from? And the question or comment.
314-337.
Assalamu alaikum. Rashid Salam. I finished my meeting up. Let me just say this. I am so thoroughly impressed with this relationship that's been established between the Bilals. I mean, I was so excited about this special time of the meeting, the special time that they have brought about in our own minds and our own thinking process. It just really just took me to a place where I needed to be. And thank you guys so much for sharing with us your marriage. And I really appreciate that. But now, just one thing, man. When you come back to St. Louis, you got to bring them whitey chicken sausages. I want you to be thoughtful, okay?
I already talked about it today. I said I'm going to have to, that you called in and said I need to bring some chicken sausages to St. Louis.
Thank you guys so much. And thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Right. And so, Bilal, since we ended on thoughtfulness, bring enough. But you're going to sell out, bro. You ain't got to worry about selling out because, obviously, those who don't know, when we had the Whiting H&G from the clear waters of Peru under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, there was all kinds of recipes. We talk about recipes. Well, we actually had a recipe book on Whiting H&G. Anything you could do with meat, we did it with fish. And I tell you, it was an extensive recipe book for Whiting H&G. So when you bring a fish sausage, bring a lot of them because I most certainly will purchase from you also. So we want to... we want to thank our radio listening audience first and foremost, because without you, there wouldn't be IWDM Radio. And we want to thank our very distinguished engineers extraordinaire, Rashid Salam. You just heard him come back on. And also the Prefer Hadi, a very distinguished talk show host herself on our sister station, AM 360 Radio. So at this time, I want to give you an opportunity, the Prefer Hadi, to let our radio listening audience know when you're on AM 360 Radio and give that information, telephone number, so that they can tune in for your show. And also, we're going to get Khalil Akbar to give her information on our sister station, AM 360. So,
yes,
the Prefer
Hadi. Yes, sir. That's AM 360 on every Saturday evening starting at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And it's Alice Lyman Focus Learning Lab. And we're expressing and discussing establishing our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as the attributes, the 99 known attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Asma ul-Husna. And that number is 515-605-9891. Again, that's 515-605-9891, excuse me. And we also have a backup number, 425-292-4253. Again, 425-292-4253. And that's every Saturday evening on AM 360 radio at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you so kindly. I look forward to you.
Yeah, thank you so kindly. Alhamdulillah, so please tune in for that production. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. And so our very distinguished esteemed co-host here on IWDM Radio, she's a distinguished host there at sister station AM 360. And I like to refer to her as the poet extraordinaire, Khalila Akbar. Please share with our radio listening audience the time and when you actually will be hosting on American Muslim 360 Radio.
Yes, it is Narrative Aspirations, and it comes on every Wednesday, inshallah, from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Narrative Aspirations. And as we heard tonight, the narrative of Brother Bilal and Sister Shakuru, we need to hear more of that. And inshallah, we'll be reaching out to you. We are looking for just that for marriage conferences. What you shared tonight was an inspiration for many. It was a healing for many. It was a rebirth for many, and it's a renaissance, and that's what we need. Allah blessed you to find true love at the core in your youthful innocence, and you took it through all the stages of life, and you're still, not all the stages because you're still progressing through life, but you still have that beauty and innocence that will rebirth and bring about happy, healthy marriages. So, alhamdulillah, we would love for you to share your narrative. Thank you. And the number is the same as Dafrisa Hadi. The number is the same at 515-605-9891. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Khalila Akbar. And a special thanks to both to Khalila Akbar, you know, and helping the co-host, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as she brings her insight and wisdom that Allah has blessed her with. Here each and every Thursday evening. I greatly appreciate her and want to always let her know on national radio and personally also. And, you know, last but not least, a very distinguished, esteemed, honored couple tonight, the Bilals, Abdul Hakim and Shakuru Bilal. I just want to say to both of you, my brother and sister, you did an outstanding job. And you know, and we've had so many people, and when they're sharing, you can see the light moments, you can see the fun moments, and all of these things. And you know, it should bring about laughter, and they can look back 41 and a half years. And if you see their picture, you have a difficult time thinking. They don't even look like they're even 41 and a half years old. Some are being married for that long. So, alhamdulillah, that is a blessing, a true, true blessing. And it's not all peaches and creams. It's up and down. It's challenges that you will be confronted with. But Allah tells us that in the Quran, you know, do you think you just be left alone just saying you believe? No, you're going to be confronted with challenges, but challenges are needed and necessary for our growth and development. And when you make that investment, it should return a better you. And so this is Allah's will and plan for the human being. We want you to know that. This is why we are doing this here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, to be an inspiration, a motivation, I want to thank both of you for accepting my invitation, and I want you to know you always have an open door here on IWDM Radio, and you just heard Khalila Akbar say you have an open door there on AM 360. So, alhamdulillah, we need more of this, and we need those couples that Allah has blessed to share, to spend out of that which Allah has blessed you with, to be an inspiration and motivation, because you started out saying, we got to do more. And so in 2024, we want to do more. We want to give more in terms of opportunity to actually do more in 2024. That's the thing here for IWDM Radio. So hopefully it becomes a thing for you too. Let's look how we can make more contributions. You love for your brother and sister what you love for yourself. And those who have been successful at it, you are vitally needed for inspiration and motivation. And the honesty, the integrity, that it ain't all peaches and cream, but you never leave Allah out. Make Allah a managing partner in the sacred institute. So we want to say to our radio listeners, the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Friday, Salatu Juma Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized can't get out and about. You can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sai here for Salatul Jumu'ah. It begins at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central, 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Saturday, the latest production, the Muslim Book Club. That's right. It's a Muslim Book Club. Once again, hosted by the very distinguished Imam Mikhail Sai here. And the first book is a two-volume book on our Honorable First Lady and Mother of our community. That would be Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the Mother of our Nation. It is an outstanding publication. It's a type of book that once you pick it up, it's going to be hard to put down. And you'll see how you can actually purchase this book on the Saturday production here on IWDM Radio. And it begins at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central. It's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Sounds familiar. It was the theme of this year's 2023, Time to Be Grateful, in which I attended. And, boy, it was very informative and very educational. You can get that here on IWDM Radio each and every Sunday afternoon, once again with the very distinguished Imam, Mikhail Sai here, Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. Each and every Sunday, it starts at 1 p.m. Eastern, is high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. My good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, he hosts an outstanding production called ABC. It's like 1, 2, 3, but it is Al-Islam-based conversation. And you know, in terms of a conversation, it takes more than just one person. It takes 2, 3, 4, and more in the conversation. On this production, there's a variety of topics that are talked about, but they're talked about from an Islamic perspective. That happens each and every Monday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, you just heard him just a few minutes ago, and his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, as they talk, and he's from the ATL down there in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. This is a learning lab. You do have to bring your pen and paper, and ink pen and paper, to take good notes, a lot of scientific terminology in terms of the science of you and the science of what is healthy for you and the vital components that comprise the holistic human being. That happens each and every Tuesday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. Wednesday is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished and esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine out of Miami, Florida. She joins yours truly, Mark Shahid, for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we teach what is correct parenting from an Islamic perspective and how to reconstruct the destructive family life that happens each and every Wednesday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio, and following the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab on Wednesday night. It is the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shahid, where I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests from inside the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And sometimes I have guests that's not in the community of Imam Muhammad, and oftentimes we'll take on topics that are pertinent to us as a community. So you want to tune in each and every Wednesday, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, here on IWDM Radio. And you just heard it live tonight. It's the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. And our very distinguished, esteemed co-host, Khalila Akbar, joins yours truly, Mark Shahid, each and every Thursday here on IWDM Radio, where we talk about the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious, sacred institution of marriage. All of these productions are very informational and educational, so make sure you tell a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, or a community member to tune in to IWDM Radio. Last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal, as it is the lifeblood and has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many, many years. And so if you have your subscription, please keep it up as it lapses, pick it back up. Those of you who have the wherewithal, who are talking about being thoughtful, think about a family member. Think about a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, or maybe a pioneer in your community, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. And I'm happy to announce that this year I have become a lifetime subscriber to the Muslim Journal. On fixed income means you fix, and for those of you who know me, I'm not able to read, but I know how important it is for the Muslim Journal as it's in its new home in Newark, New Jersey. And now you understand in terms of being asked to be the spokesperson for the lifetime subscribers, I'm going to be asking you, you understand, to become a lifetime subscriber for the Muslim Journal. If you're a Muslim, you should want to have the Muslim Journal as we build model community life. And so I want to thank all of you for sticking and staying and not straying away, and we thank Almighty God, Allah, first and foremost, for restoring this platform so that we could restore all the vital productions here on IWDM Radio. And so as the priest of High B get ready to tune up, I want to say to all of you, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is my soul sister, Sawar El-Amin. best. Let us follow the guidance. And until next time, God's peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. That's all.